Rivers Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We put on the sweater, and it feels like home. Our hopes, our dreams, woven in blue and gold, black and red. When we put on the sweater, we're connected to anyone who's ever worn it.
Are you ready, Legion of Doom? Here come the Buffalo Sabres!
And to everyone who will ever wear it.
Scores a rocket for the captain!
And these guys just never quit, and I'll never stop believing.
It says we belong to this place on the map called Buffalo. To this family of people that chant the same words.
Let's go, Buffalo!
To this house whose heart beats loud.
Let's go, Ricky!
This sweater, these colors tell our story. And they live forever.
Welcome into Sabres Live. It's a great day as we've got a new partner, of course, and a long-standing one at that, that we are moving forward in a new direction with for the home jersey, Seneca Resorts and Casinos, the first ever official home jersey patch partner, and it looks great in blue and gold.
It looks great in blue and gold. It will also look great in red and black when they wear it, and that's going to be awesome. And we will have Kevin Nephew of Seneca Nations and Resorts and Casinos to be here with us in the bottom of the hour and talk about it. You know what I was thinking about? Remember when he gifted us those medallion necklace? Yeah. I was just looking at it yesterday because it's on my back shelf at home in my office.
Mine's right under the television, right on the entertainment
console. And I was
console.
Like, yesterday, well, I thought to myself, I should probably bring that in and put in our...
You and I
run
totally the same
forgot.
Page.
And so, but anyway, this is great to have that announcement. Seneca being our home patch jersey sponsor. And it just proves, again, like, Sabres did such a great job this year, you know, getting to the playoffs, winning a round, the fan base, the excitement with the Saberhood block party, everything that's around the arena, the concerts. There's a buzz downtown because of the Sabres. And then it continues with this partnership that has been long-standing with Seneca Resorts and Casinos.
Yeah, a shared one here in the Cobblestone District for sure, and commitment to Western New York, the ancestral home of the Seneca Nation. So for more on the full story, you can check it out at Sabres.com, and Kevin will be with us at the bottom of the hour, as Marty mentioned. There's an awful lot going on, and maybe there will soon be more going on Sabre-wise, because we have entered into that off-season of activity. It started yesterday with a trade that largely was, you know, clearing out more space from a Maple Leaf standpoint, cap-wise, and who knows what they're going to do with it, but they are clearly the team that is in the most transition within the Atlantic Division. There's no question about that. And with buyout window is opened across the NHL, and coaching decisions, like yesterday when Vegas decided that they weren't going to bring John Tortorella back, and today the Maple Leafs bring back a very familiar face, one who was an assistant coach with the team when Austin Matthews entered into the NHL. His name is Jim Hiller, most recently from the Los Angeles Kings. So a long, long, long time hockey man as a player and coach is back behind an NHL bench in under arguably the biggest spotlight.
Yeah, the biggest spotlight. We're going to have Shayna Goldman here to discuss like the trade yesterday. Not so much who won the trade, but what's the direction for the Flyers, the direction for the
Leafs. I think we'll talk about the coach more than the trade.
Well, I think the trade is interesting because it happened yesterday, and it's including goaltending. And we always talk about, oh, there's going to be goalie movement, and there's never any goalie movement. And now, boom, there's a trade, and I think that's going to, you know, the dominoes are going to fall. Here's the thing with this coaching hired by the Toronto Maple Leafs. Apparently, there was five candidates. There was Jim Hiller, Jay Woodcroft, Patrick Waugh. There was Dallas Eakins and Joe Pavelski. And Pavelski, obviously, very outside of the other ones that have been coaches and everything. The one thing that Jim Hiller does is he understands the defensive structure. Like, over the last 2 years with the LA Kings, they were second in goals against per game. Like, that's great. The Toronto Maple Leafs last year, 31st in goals against. 31st in expected goals against. So you're looking at bringing in somebody that's going to change your defensive structure, that's going to put that in place. Do I think Jim Heller did a good job with the LA Kings? No, I really didn't think that it moved the needle. But if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs and you're thinking not just short term and winning and for year one, or but maybe the longer term, like structure.
I don't think they're thinking longer term when Austin Matthews is on the roster.
But that's the thing. But that's mixed signals right now, because the trade they made yesterday is a longer term kind of trade to me. Emil Andre's younger. He's got more upside.
Yeah, but they're just dumping money. Like 5 years from now, it's only going to be looked at as a salary dump trade.
My first thought of it was
from the Toronto standpoint.
From the Toronto standpoint.
Because they've already got other goalies.
Well, that's right, but it's a longer term plan for the goalies. It opens a door for Akhtiamov and or Hildeby. But that to me is like Hildeby and Akhtiamov won't move the needle next year. They may move it in 3 years from now, 4 years from now, but I don't think that's going to happen in next year. So, and who knows what they're going to do with Austin Matthews. They moved on from Marner. Maybe their plan and maybe Chyka's plan is, you know what, let's start right from the beginning. I don't know. We'll see what the rest of the summer is going to show.
Well, Jim Heller's winning percentage with LA was 600, and the only reason it fell off, or a reason that it fell off this year, was because the goaltending wasn't as good and wasn't as healthy. Yeah. And the Leafs went through the same problem with it not being healthy last year. So, again, we can talk with Shayna about the actual value of coaches and what they mean.
But those problems with the health of goaltenders is going to continue with the Leafs. It's not like
it
Anthony Stolarz all of a sudden is going to be healthy.
Could come in as a Calder Cup champ and be a Rookie of the Year next year. He
could be.
Right.
You have Sam Ersson as a...
Use Sam Ersson. They might not even qualify him. That's the talk.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying it's a cap dump. Anyway, partners, if you will, given that the Leafs knew all about Jim Heller, Colorado and Nashville, as the GM moves from the Avalanche to the Predators and immediately acquires Ross Colton, who is a player I like. It's just you can't get like super, super, super excited about. Like at his best, Ross Colton could be a 20 goal guy. It was just 2 seasons ago. He started the year with 8 goals in 9 games.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he didn't make it out of October healthy, and he has 17 goals in the last 125 games. It's not all about goal scoring. If anything, he looks like 9 other Nashville Predators over the last 2 years, and that is what more are you possibly going to get from this guy? Anyway, it's basically Colton for a couple of third-rounders and a swap of goalie prospects, and the prospects might not even be the right term because they're mid-20s guys who might never make it to the NHL. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic, of course, is deeply invested in the NHL. And, of course, we have laid the foundation. It's like we rolled out the red carpet thanks to our friends up the QEW making news on consecutive days. Shayna, your thoughts on the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I mean, at least they waited for the Stanley Cup final to end this time to steal the spotlight. They can't help themselves. The Maple Leafs, they're perplexing. This is an interesting series of moves here. The trade front, interesting. You go, okay, are you clearing cap space? I understand with Joseph Boal, the durability, right? Because one of your best assets is availability. He does not have that consistently enough. And with some of the Stolarz injuries over the last couple of seasons, you can see where they were running into problems. And Sam Harrison has had his moments in Philly, right? Like he's had a couple really good runs there, but like his ceiling is not as a starter, it's a backup, I would say. Maybe you could say 1B here or there. And Benoit's coming off a bad year. They need defensemen who can move the puck a little bit better. That's a big issue. They're a little too one-dimensional. But then the coaching decision now adds more pause to the situation, right? Because Jim Heller has a reputation for being a defensively-minded coach. And with LA, it's tough because they had that 1-3-1 when he became head coach. That was the structure. And you look at the lineup he had to work with, and I don't know how much of it these were his original ideas or kind of this group think of this is what the Kings need, so here's your job, execute it within your own way, but here's the parameters. And I really don't know the answer to that. And sometimes it takes a coach more than one go-around to figure it out at this level, and maybe there's something more there. But as it stands, I don't see the Leafs needing someone to bring more defensive stability if it comes at the expense of their offense. I don't think they need this 1-3-1 trap system. I think that they need a little more tempo. So I was kind of hoping they went a little more out of the box here it felt like that was possible after yesterday's move, and now I'm a little bit more confused.
I'm confused because of what John Chayka said in the press conference when talking about Jim Hiller, and he says he understands what it takes to win. I'm like, okay, let me look at your track record.
I don't think he's ever won as a player or coach.
No, never. Never. As a coach, he went to the finals in the WHL when he coached Tri-City, I believe. That's it. It's round one. Round one, round one, round one, round one.
Perfect
round
for the one. Leafs.
That's it. Like, it. Maybe that's right. But I'm my problem here is that, okay, your options were Jay Woodcroft and Dallas Eakins and Patrick Waugh and whatever.
Joe Pavelski. That's the one for me.
It would have been interesting. I don't know where that would have gone, but it would have been interesting. At least it would have been like, hey, you know what? Montreal did it with Marty St. Louis. Maybe the Leafs are like, hey, let's get somebody young with energy. Let's change. Let's blow this up and see what happens. I don't think they had the right kind of coaching prospect to really kind of move forward. And they go with Jim Hiller, who apparently knows what it takes to win. But to me, that's the confusing part when you make these statements, but nothing backs up these statements.
Well, that might be the thing there. It might be just poor choice of words from the organization / the GM. Like, there's a way to sell someone coming in, but don't put out stuff that people might be able to immediately poke holes in.
Yeah, no, that's not right? Like, say, we need to work on our defensive structure. He's a good defensive coach. He knows Austin Matthews and Willie Nylander. That's, he was here
isn't
before.
Isn't that all great. You need to say?
That's all you need to say. Like, when
Austin came into the league, there was an immediate connection that helped him because Hiller used to play the game as a forward as well. Who knows? You could say anything like that to make it a little bit more impactful, I think.
Yeah. And how many layers of people do those words go through? And that's still the final answer that you go, okay, sure, that's what we're going with here. He knows how to win. Okay, does he know how to win a coach's challenge? Maybe go with that. Maybe lead with that. Like, hey, our video staff is really good at knowing when to challenge for goal interference or how much, you know, like you could even say, we wanted someone with some experience of coaching at this level so at least they can hit the ground running, and he has that and he's learned and whatever. Like, I think that there's just like so many different ways to twist this. But you're right, like this was the coaching prospects they had. And some of them made sense, some of them didn't. But I did want to see them go a little bit out of the box here. I want to see a coach that doesn't throw their players under the bus, which I felt like happened a lot. Feels like the Toronto market is tough enough. It would have been nice to see someone who kind of smooth things out for the players, to let them be themselves and give them that freedom to just cook on the ice without worrying about all the other noise. And I felt like someone like Joe Pavelski was such an interesting pick because he's out of the box and he's in that Marty St. Louis track of here was an elite player who was good at a little bit of everything, was a great leader on the ice. You know, you saw it, Wyatt Johnston, like living at his house, like all of those characteristics that you should want the players to have. Plus, he has that hard working mentality to instill. And he's also someone who can get on the ice and start working with guys to be like, okay, Matthew Nyes, let's work on this element of your game. I'm going to get out there and do it with you, as we saw Marty St. Louis do with Cole Caulfield. So you could have sold that one. I feel like if you were picking Hiller, you really need to get creative here to make him seem like this interesting hire that makes so much sense after the Craig Berube era of boring defensive hockey that took out so much of the fun offensive strengths we know the Leafs have.
It didn't even work. Now, let me ask you this, because the first thing I thought when they traded Joe Woll and they got younger on defense and maybe opened the door for Akhtyamov and or Hildeby to be their guy in the future.
And or another, like, if they don't think those two are ready, they can still get any other 30-something free agent, right? Like, there's going to be, as always, a dozen.
There's not a lot of teams that need goaltending, but it's a weird year, and maybe that's going to be where the movement
all
happens.
Connor Ingerman, honestly. Maybe, like, you know what I mean?
Talbot,
like,
or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Talbot's probably the guy now.
Maybe. He's the number one. But my first thought, Shayna, was there was a lot of talk when they were looking for a new GM after firing Brett Treliven that maybe the selling point is a rebuild with Toronto and a retool. I'm listening to Chayka, and I'm hearing Jim Hiller, and I'm hearing we're trading Joe Woll, and I'm like, I'm almost feeling like he's starting to retool or rebuild without, who knows what's going to happen with Willie Nylander and Austin Matthews or whatnot, but it feels like Toronto may be heading that way. Am I wrong to think that?
No, I would call it a transition year. If I'm Toronto, I would, without outright saying it's a transition year, and I would try to take a page out of the Hurricanes book, what they did last year. Last year, you looked at how they had all of these holes in the lineup, right? Like Brady Shea leaves, Brett Pesce leaves. They have to find bodies to fill voids, and they found a bunch of guys. They weren't the Keandre Millers yet and the Nikolai Ehlers yet. It was a bunch of guys. But you have the system and you have the foundation to make it work. And even when they got eliminated last year, you kind of heard the comments from Rod Brind'Amour of like, I don't even know if we were good enough to make the playoffs with this roster. So if you're Toronto, the problem is you're starting at a totally different position. You're not as like well built from an identity standpoint, from a roster standpoint, from an asset pool standpoint, from a salary cap standpoint to pull this off. But you could view it as, let's see what happens this year to kind of figure out what we need to bring in this coach to start shaping the roster and to ideally be a contender in a year. Try to be a playoff team this year. Try to get that experience again and try to keep, you know, working out the kinks. But then again, if you slip out and you get a good pick, so be it. Oh, wait, no, sorry, you don't have your first round pick. Darn, that's why you can't do a retool. So you have to kind of preface it differently, I think. And it just shows like what a tough position it is, because I don't think you want to sell a retool either to Austin Matthews, right? Because all of this depends on what he wants to do. But getting potentially Gavin McKenna is this like franchise altering course of a first overall player. I think that you could try to make this your transition year and really load up for the next season, but you have to be aggressive and smart about it. And it feels like there were so many missed opportunities that they're so much further behind the ball than they should be. But yeah, it does feel like they're kind of, they can try to sell this different ways. I think they're keeping it kind of, you know, innocuous now. So then when they actually know their position, they can be like, actually, we've been gearing up for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if we go back to how we were viewing Jim Hiller and the Kings at the start of last season on the heels of a fourth straight loss in the playoffs to the Oilers. Edmonton Oilers, I believe that your focus, rightly so, Shayna, was on the roster construction out there to try to help him and the team. And you poked a lot of holes into the signings that they have made over the last 2 years to try to balance the defense core or whatever. Like, they just didn't look like a team that was going to be able to score a ton. And then they go and get Panarin and, you know, they make it in only to get swept out. The point here to balance and provide a similar narrative to what we often do, which is what is the real value of a coach, which remains very hard to answer. I think isn't that, like, if all of a sudden, this is the long way of saying, if all of a sudden in 3 weeks, Jim Hiller has at his disposal, dare I say this, Alex Tuch and Darren Radish. Just, and then obviously Gavin McKenna and health. Do the Leafs not like look like they can blast into this transition year like you kind of just hinted at and be really, really good?
If they're going for those kinds of players, all of a sudden it's not a transition year, because you're going for players who are in that right now zone, and you know none of those contracts are aging well. Like, it's just the reality of the free agency system. Say you sign any of those guys to a 7-year deal, like, your 6 and 7's tough. So your window is now the next 4 or 5 years. And all of a sudden it's speed up, you're back in the playoffs, right? Like, that's the goal. If you're signing those players, it's to make the playoffs this year. And I'd be interested to see what happens with Hiller and that kind of group, right? Because someone like Radish, he's a bomb of a shot. It's something that power play could absolutely use, you know, but we don't know what type of player he is truly. And someone like Tuch, he has the speed, the skill. He could be really good on the wing there. Like, makes a ton of sense. But you go, are they in the position to sign those players? Like, I don't know the answer. And it's so hard to say. Like, I don't know the answer on those players. I don't know the answer on the rest of the Leafs roster. And I don't know the answer on Hiller. And I don't know the answer with the front office. There's so many uncertainties on a good day in the NHL. And I feel like they're just like gearing themselves to be in limbo even longer at this rate, because there's just so many question marks here. Like, when they hired Jim Hiller, I really wonder what the selling point was for them, because you look at some of the players that they had in LA, right? The Deneaux, the Kopitars, it made sense why they played a certain way, but it's also like, did he force Byram to play that style a little bit too much? So did he, you know, take some of the fun out of Brant Clark's game at all? Like, I would argue, I don't think Hiller should have been the coach to start this past season either.
Right, so it's but like, I mean, who did he replace? Learn? He replaced Todd McClellan, and then what's McClellan done? Got Detroit close, just like Detroit has been close on many other years, right?
Like, and he takes over the system, too, that's that one-dimensional system. So, like, what's his trademark? I don't know.
And not to blame Todd, but Detroit's now looking at having to move off of their franchise centerman, right? And, like, what are the Leafs going to do? Are they going to make a bold move and go in a different direction? Like, this is all super fascinating to me. And the only thing I would say about the potential for free agents is, even though you just said you don't have the answer to this and don't have to, like, the Leafs will have the cap space to do this kind of thing. Whether they do, whether it's the right thing to do, who knows? And Darren Radish is from Toronto.
And so. Shayna, but let me ask you this, because obviously we mentioned Tuck and Radish, and okay, there's going to be an overpayment on Tuck and Radish. They both were on team-friendly deals. Like, Tuck, the last 7 years, 4.75. Like, that is a team-friendly deal for 7 years. And he signed that with Vegas. Radish wasn't even over $1 million. So there's going to be an overpayment. Which one do you think will work best? If you give a long-term deal at $9 million for Radish or a long-term deal at $10.5 million for Tuck, which one are you more comfortable with?
That's a tough one because it's going to depend on the signing team for
sure. See, this is great this or that because you know what?
Yeah.
When I make you go, ooh, that's a tough one. That
keep
means
in mind,
it's a
he could
one.
Stay in Tampa just like Tuck could stay here in Buffalo.
Yeah. Oh, exactly, but it's going to be like around that price. I'm saying it doesn't matter if it's Tampa, Buffalo, Toronto, Chicago, San Jose. But which one would you be more comfortable? A Radish long term around $9 million or a Tuck long term at $10.5 million?
I'm going to go with Tuck. I think that's I have to go with Tuck here because Tuck has a longer track record. Yeah, yes. that's just it. And I think also you look at him and you go, the raw tools have been there for years and we've seen them come together for years, right? He has the defensive strengths. That's important for wingers to have in today's game because we see it all the time where wingers get their minutes limited if they're not trustworthy in their own zone. He can play in any situation. He has a lot of speed. He has a lot of skill. He has qualities that should age well. So, and it could work in a lot of different systems, I think. So I would be high on that, right? Because say he's not your power play one guy, or say on a contender he's not your number one guy, but is your two or three, I think he's in a position to absolutely cook. If he goes to a rebuilding team, he's the number one for now. Don't love that. But as other players come up the ranks at the right time, I think then like you can see how the trends are going the opposite direction. Someone like Radish has 1 year of playing at this level. And even before this, like, was he good? Yes, but not to this, you know, number one defenseman on the power play, ripping shots. Mm-hmm. I think he'd keep doing that. But also, as we see power play trends trend in different directions, too, and there's been less emphasis on shooting from the point, too. It depends on what team you sign with, if that's going to be a big part of your role. I imagine if you're a team signing Radish, it's to use the best of his ability. But I just don't know what the best of his ability is in the long run. And even if he stays with Tampa and signs that deal, I would be more concerned about his aging because that's an older team, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got a third of the league that's going to have roughly $28 million or more in cap space. Yes. So again, speaking to the opportunity for some, you know, limited number of top free agents like Tuck and Radish.
Radish is just, he got more ice time because of Hedman was gone and he got more opportunity.
But he's also been trending the right way. And I think that's what's, you know, worth noting for Radish. And certainly, you know, and
his points per 60 is almost the same last year as it was 2 years ago, 148 2 years ago, 154. But you know what? His 5-on-5 time on ice went up by 2 minutes. His power play time on ice went up by 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like all of these are obviously.
And his tracking metrics. His tracking metrics in his own zone last year were not very strong by all three zones tracking. But if you go through this year, like his puck touches, his retrievals, his exits, his transition game, it was sparkling.
Mm-hmm. And that's experience and opportunity with a team that knows how to win, right? There are so many things to like about the way the Lightning do things. And then players ultimately benefit from that. And that's what puts them in a position like Radish is in right now. And interestingly, you know, from a defense standpoint and free agency, like John Carlson's coming back to the East. He's told Anaheim that he's not going to re-sign out there. Who do you think's the best suitor for Carlson in the East?
He's such an interesting one because he still has the offensive juice, right? Like he unquestionably does. If he went back to Washington tomorrow, I'd be like, sure, that makes sense. There's so many teams in the East right now that you could make a case for him to go to. Whoever needs a power play quarterback, whoever needs that guy on your second pair. Is he great defensively? No. but you can find him a partner to help like mitigate some of what he lacks. But the tricky part for a contender is, I think, the foot speed of it. When he was with the Capitals last year and they go to play the Canes and Ferravari got hurt, it was the first time I really looked at him and was like, I feel like we're seeing his age a little bit here. So I think a younger team makes more sense. That's why I liked him for Anaheim. I'm like, if any team has the speed to make up for what he lacks, it's them. It's just the defense is going to be even trickier because that's where they already struggle. Could a team like Philly make sense as a team that needs a power play quarterback but has so much defensive structure there? Maybe. Right? Like, yes, anyone but Pittsburgh, 100%. I kind of look at. I go, Pittsburgh is the one team where I'm like, okay, you have Carlson and Letang, hands off. But everybody else, I'm like, I could see that opening in different ways. Like, I think Boston should be trending younger. But if they said they want a better power play one quarterback to let Charlie McAvoy play so much everywhere else, I would kind of understand it too. That's why they've tried it with Mason Lowry. It hasn't worked. If they were like, why not just go with someone like Carlson, who's so good at setting up scoring chances, I'd understand it on a short-term deal.
Oh, Philly would be a punch in the gut for Alex Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals, who let him go and comes back and they own your division, a rival and whatnot. John Tortorella was said, thank you, but no thanks. You know, that was a great run, but you didn't win it at the end, and we're going to move in a different direction. All the signs are pointing to Ryan Craig, who was the assistant with Vegas for many years and then has been the head coach with the Henderson Silver Knights. Do you know much about him? What does that do for Vegas if that's the direction they go in?
Yeah, I didn't really think Tortorella was going to stick around. I feel like this is kind of this new interesting capacity for him to be this like short-term fixer. I thought if they won for sure he was done. And then maybe if they didn't, you would still have that fire to be like, this works. But going to the AHL, I think, is really smart. You look at where first-time head coaches or new head coaches are coming from, and it does feel like the AHL is becoming a stronger and stronger resource. Yes. The NCAA level just isn't it. We see some assistants get that bump, but sometimes you want someone with the head coaching experience. And obviously there's, you know, generally that familiarity with the system if you're in the AHL as is already. And you look at guys like Spencer Carberry and how they kind of found their footing as an AHL head coach. They make the jump and look how it works. And, you know, Warsawski, I think, had experience in the AHL too. He was an assistant at the NHL level as well. So you have like the best of both worlds there. So
and Bednar and Cooper back in the
right,
day.
Bednar, you know, from like Cleveland coming
and
in.
And it was Sheldon Keefe before with the Marlies going to Toronto. Yep. Yeah, that's what has been happening.
It feels like that's just a really good place to be because it's like the best of both worlds, because sometimes those coaches have that little bit of NHL head assistant coaching experience at that point. But at the end of the day, like, if you're going to be an NHL head coach, it does make sense to look at other head coach positions at different levels. Why not go for someone who is new and fresh? You don't need to always go for that veteran coach. Like, I think Vegas is holding up the sign of like, we're a contender, but we can go for someone new. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Edmonton, you want to take some notes? LA, anyone?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great step for Vegas, honestly, to have someone who's basically been in the organization since day one. It's almost very un-Vegas-like because, you know,
they move on so quick.
Well, because they had two guys on their Stanley Cup final roster that they'd actually drafted, right? Like, they just do things differently. But this feels like a homegrown thing, and I'll be interested to see how it plays out. Shayna, awesome insight as always. Enjoy the rest of the week. I feel like it's the weekend already.
Yeah. It's fine. Okay. Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. We, of course, are already looking forward to next season, the 26-27 campaign, and you can get your Sabres 10-game plan, enjoy per-game savings, playoff ticket priority, and a guaranteed seat location. Choose from two plans, each featuring one matchup against either Tampa or Montreal, plus 9 more games. Learn more. Get yours today at sabres.com/10. Kevin Nephew from Seneca coming up.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
If you attended a 25-26 Sabres game, we want to hear from you. Complete our postseason survey at sabres.com/survey, and you'll be entered for a chance to win Sabres jerseys and autographed pucks. Sabres jerseys, you say? That seems to be a talking point today, as the team's first ever official home jersey patch partner is very much on display, as Kevin Nephew from Seneca and Seneca Gaming is with us. The jersey patch, Kevin, means to you what?
Oh my God. To me, it means a great collaboration between the Buffalo Sabres organization and Seneca Resorts and Casinos. When we talk about it, Seneca Resorts and Casinos goes all the way back. Our roots, we support the Seneca Nation of Indians, which has its roots here in Western New York, back to time's gone past. And when we talk about it, right, what way better way than to really collaborate? Two great teams, Seneca Resorts and Casinos and the Buffalo Sabres. Super excited, and especially given what a great season the Sabres had.
I was going to say, like, with the playoff push and the season and the, you know, the first round against Boston and then the Game 7 series against Montreal, and I would drive in, you know, for 7:30, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock game, whatever, like sometimes three and a half hours before, and I always take, you know, the route around Seneca Buffalo Creek, and I come around the back, and fans were coming into the casino for pre-games. They were watching the games there. We have alumni events there. How fun was that, the buzz downtown, especially with Buffalo Creek right there down the road?
Well, to tell you, you know, that was part of what drove our collaboration, was to see the number of people that were coming downtown. You know, we talk about the Cobblestone District down here, and we just saw the people start coming in. It's from the South Towns, but all properties. And then not only were they coming downtown when there were home games, they were coming downtown when they were for the watch parties.
Yeah.
And so we do the watch parties. And then one of the things, we take pride. I tell you, I moved to Albany, New York for about 22 years. And do you know one thing? I was always a Sabres fan.
Yeah.
So once a Sabres fan, always a Sabres fan. There we go.
And that's it's ongoing. I mean, this partnership with Seneca, you know, Resorts and Casinos, and, you know, you've been on the gaming side as well so much in your role as president and CEO. But this is not new. This is merely like a big next step between these two organizations.
Brian, you know what? That collaboration, that partnership, I can't say enough about it. And it goes beyond just, you know, we talk about it sometimes about the two teams. But do you know what? We first met at Native American Heritage Night.
Mm-hmm.
What a way to celebrate. And it wasn't just a way to celebrate the two organizations, but to bring an awareness and education of the Seneca Nation of Indians, which is a great opportunity for us. Right. I mean, I think sometimes we are part of the history and part of the story that goes in here. And then two is the collaboration we've had with our community. We've had the sports day with our children. If you're able to see that video today, you see the kids playing hockey in it. Oh, just, you know, makes me feel great.
To underscore that, this partnership will include the introduction of the Train Like a Pro. Mm-hmm. And this is a program. It's a joint effort by the Sabres and Seneca Resorts and Casinos to provide opportunities for Native youth to experience a day in the life of an NHL player through hockey clinics and workouts and team building activities and nutritional insights. And while we sit here and we look at the patch and how beautiful it looks on the jersey, it just, when you read and recognize other programs that can go far beyond this, that's where the impact is made.
Absolutely. And I think that people sometimes, you know, don't realize the power of sports, especially professional sports. It can change, you know, a child's life to go into sports or to stay into school. You know, it creates a discipline. And that's part of it, right? It's giving to those future generations as we go forward. And that's one of our big values, right? To look at the next generation as we go forward, you know, learn from our past generations and look to our future generations.
So when we see, and we're showing the video that we showed at the start of the show as well, and, you know, that has been shared through social media with the Sabres and through Seneca Resorts and Casinos, and you see kind of Rasmus Dahlin and Tage Thompson and Zach Benson, and next year they'll have that patch on the home jerseys. And then you watch clips of Ryan Miller, Dominic Hasek, Gilbert Perreault, Pat LaFontaine, and you're like, man, like, imagine if they had a Seneca patch back then, and
absolutely,
what 20, 25 years later it would feel like. Like, in 20, 25 years, when we see Dahlin and Thompson and Benson and they have that Seneca patch, what is that going to mean to you to have had that relationship, that partnership, that people can go back now decades and hopefully even longer than that?
Well, I think, you know, you struck the note right there. It becomes part of history.
Yeah.
You know, you have now become part of history that we're all a part of. And that is just tremendous. I'll tell you, I just came from our property at Buffalo Creek. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the news is hitting our team members. They are so excited. I mean, you talk about smiles, ear to ear, super happy. But you know what it is? Our folks, when it's game day, we allow them to wear their Sabres jerseys.
Oh, that's, yeah.
If you get to see that, that's amazing. Our team is just so proud of our team And that's what's very
cool. So when Duffer is on set for pregame and I'm at Buffalo Creek and we do it on location, I walk around and I see all the dealers and all the staff with their Sabres jerseys. The amount of different names and numbers and the history.
Right.
Like there is some jerseys that I'm like, oh, that's one I haven't seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. And now, like, people are going to walk around. They're going to get that patch and their jerseys, and it's going to be incredible. And again, like, I love the partnership because it gets me to meet great people. Uh-huh. We've met you. We've met so many others from the casinos. We have had alumni go to Seneca Niagara for the watch party, Buffalo Creek, down in Allegheny and everything. So it has been fantastic. Now, what's next? What's next for the business of the resorts and the casino?
Well, as we continue, you know, we continue to expand. Actually, up in Niagara Falls, we're redoing all 600 rooms. So wow. All 600 rooms are in the process. We've just finished mock rooms. We've unveiled the preview of it. So once those three are done, there's only three mock rooms. Mm-hmm. Now we proceed, and we're going to do all 600 rooms. So that's going to be shortly.
And Duffer, yeah. You're a music guy. They got great concerts at Seneca Niagara.
Live
too.
Entertainment.
Outside, it's, yeah. Inside.
Huge the, component, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then we always, you know, like a little comedy. So, you know, yeah. You guys mm-hmm. always know how to break the ice with me. So we got a little bit of comedy there. Yeah. So it's all good.
We should have a two-man show.
Well, the other like thing it. That I know. and love is the fashion component of things. So obviously when you're talking about an historic jersey and you're putting a patch on it and you want it to feel like a part of the jersey. And I think what was really cool just when you came in today, but also you could see hints of in the video to launch this home jersey patch will fit in with blue and gold and with black and red, and I think that's also going to be very, appealing for fans that just they want things to look the way they should, right? And that's really cool that you're able to integrate it that way.
Yeah, I think that's so important that you want it to. We use a term. I use this term in business, right? And it's about customer service. You want it to flow.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's flow, it's seamless. And there's nothing like that. It's like watching a great hockey game when they're just moving. And it's just when they flow, there's no stopping it. Mm-hmm. And it's just perfect. And I think, you know, when we see this with the patch and everything, regardless if it's on the blue or if it's on the white and black, it's going to look great. Yeah. And it has to because – it's a great patch. It's a great team. It's a great partnership.
It's a great partnership. What'd you make out of Zach Benson in the playoffs and how he turned out to be one of the most hated player on the ice? But, man, do we love him. And, you know, like, just that fire that he showed and, you know, and the leadership that he showed and Thompson and Darlene. Like, what'd you make out of the individual stories in the playoffs?
Every individual story was great. I'll tell you. You know what? As you watch it. Well, just overall. You know, look at the spirit we had to take it from where we started at the beginning of the season to where we end it. And you know what? It never ends. It's a new beginning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just that spirit, man, talk about fighting all the way through. I mean, the community, we love them. You know, they're us. And that's what really brings it home. And you know what? That just that grit.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I love that.
The grit was there. I love that the Blade Gang was skating right by Buffalo Creek to come down to the arena. The fan engagement you talked about. And I think that's what makes Buffalo special, Western New York special, the Buffalo fan special. And now that partnership with Seneca Resorts and Casinos is special. And, you know, we love having you on. It's always a breath of fresh air when you come in, and you're looking great. Look at the shirt and the suit, Duffer.
Yeah.
You put your jacket on today.
I knew we had some really great company coming into the studio.
I know. So. I was a little bit nervous coming in here. I was like,
I don't know what I'm stepping into. Native American Heritage Night, I would assume, throughout the course of the season, because that's all part of this ongoing collaboration and partnership too, right?
Yes. Actually, you know what? We this collaboration, as we continue, you know, we're looking forward to the draft that's coming up right around the
next
corner.
Friday.
Yeah. And this is, you know what? We're becoming hockey town.
Yeah.
This
is again.
A lot of people are coming from everywhere in North America and the world, and we got to send them over to Buffalo Creek for a couple of drinks and enjoy that. That's good.
Well, Kevin, don't forget, they can go to Buffalo Creek, Seneca Niagara, or Seneca Allegheny. We got them covered.
Kevin, great to see you again.
Yes,
thank you for the partnership, and it continues, and we're thrilled to say that. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
This upcoming season, you can create unforgettable game nights for 10 or more people with group ticketing experiences. You'll save on box office pricing, get access to exclusive experiences like photos on center ice, post-game slap shots, Sabres access, and more. Visit sabres.com/groups to learn more. Well, it's been quite a day and a lot of news around the NHL as well, and not just within the realm of hockey. So let's see where we start with D&D.
Dazzled and disturbed.
Oh, it felt like just yesterday when Luke Adam blazed onto the scene with the Buffalo Sabres, and yet here he is retired after, might I add, spending the last 2 years of his career in a beautiful place to kind of ease into retirement, Lake Tahoe in the ECHL. But it was actually on the European trip to start his career. He was out there playing with the likes of Van and Palmer and ultimately had some success, found himself at an All-Star weekend in Ottawa 1 year as a young participant. And congrats on Luke Adam's career as a pro player.
So I was still playing in the league when Luke Adam entered the league because I was with the Rangers in that trip. We were in Sweden. The Sabres ended up in Berlin. And but yes, so Luke Adam, great career. I can totally see him becoming a coach with the experience that he's had, like, you know, traveled a lot, played in a lot of different teams, a lot of different leagues. I can definitely see Luke Adam and the way that a nice guy, very personable, I can see him move into coaching in the after career.
How liked do you think the new IKEA at the Galleria Mall will be among Sabre players?
Well, I mean, with all the Swedes that we have here and continue to have, I think they're going to feel at home with the new IKEA. But that's dazzling that IKEA is going to be coming in 2027 to the Walden Galleria Mall. So for those that love to build piece of furniture with a map and all these little pieces, I'm one of those. I love doing that.
Shocker.
I don't do it well. Sometimes I have to restart. But yes, I think it would be great.
Marty's World Cup minute or more, because there was a lot yesterday.
There was a lot yesterday. And if you're looking for big names to get stuff done, you just had to look at Messi with the hat trick, his first ever hat trick in the World Cup. He was unbelievable for Argentina. He was everywhere on the pitch. And look, they had a great game against Algeria, and it was, you know, an easy win. But then you have Mbappe.
Yeah, but hang on. Messi's at 16 now, which is tied for the World Cup goal record. And
he will get there, but you have Mbappe, who is at 14 right now. He's only 27 years old. He's going to be continuing to get there. He had a couple of goals yesterday. One was a strike from way out far. Unbelievable. And then you had Haaland with Norwegian team, who he plays for Man City in the Premier League. He's unbelievable at a couple of goals. A little disturbed the second goal he scored. The goalie made a mistake. He backed out. The D didn't give it to him. He got a freebie. But the three big names came through big times yesterday in the World Cup.
England, Croatia, 4 today. Panama, Ghana at 7.
Oh,
that's in
Sam
Toronto.
Producer
Sam will be there. Last night in Toronto, the Marlies win again. They're up 3-0 in the Calder Cup final as Easton Cowan, who's, you know, arguably the most important piece for this Marlies run from a Maple Leaf standpoint. Like let's see what Cowan can do in an extended playoff run. He scored the only goal. Akiyama, perfect in goal. Chicago is in an awful hole now, down 3-0 in the series. It could end on Thursday. Happy birthday to the co-author of Buffalo's first ever Vezina win. That was Bob Sauve and Don Edwards. And Bob is 71 today. But Bob did not accomplish, nor has any other Sabre netminder accomplished, what Mika Noronen did against Toronto years ago. Noronen celebrates his 47th birthday today, reflecting on his scoring, in quotations, against Toronto.
Yeah, thanks Robert Reichel, who sent it all the way down the ice. Mika Noronen was the last player to touch it. We're all wondering on the bench, like, is that Mika's goal? And Pat Quinn was looking on with not being very amused. But you know what? It was kind of funny because RJ and Jim Lawrence knew exactly that it was going to be Noronen's goal. Happy birthday, Stéphane Fizette, who is also one of my favorite with the Quebec Nordiques.
And Henry Jokiharju's 27 and Nikita Kucherov's 33. It all comes together. So much talk about so much today. We'll see you tomorrow.